morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Dana Massamra.
And I'm Nicholas Faveros. Here are some of the stories we're following for you this morning from the On the Record newsroom. A couple dozen Toronto rideshare and food delivery drivers took part in a strike at Nathan Phillips Square Wednesday afternoon. Recent reports are showing that many drivers are making far less than minimum wage. Workers say that platforms like Uber and Lyft are taking disproportionate sums from their fares as fees, affecting how much money drivers actually make. Similar strikes also took place in major cities in both the United States and the United Kingdom.
Be prepared for some more traffic in Toronto as the Gardiner Expressway will be reduced to only two lanes beginning as early as March to make way for construction. One lane from each side of the highway is expected to be out of service for 3 years as part of a multi-step highway rehabilitation plan. However, the city has said it will pause construction for the FIFA World Cup in Toronto from May to July of 2026.
Manual license plate renewals will soon be a thing of the past, as the Ford government announced this Tuesday that the province will move into an automatic system. This decision follows the elimination of annual license plate strikes back in 2022, which cost Ontario residents up to $120 per vehicle. There is currently no specifics in regard to when renewals will officially be scrapped, but Ford is confident this change will take place soon.
Police are investigating a pro-Palestinian rally protesting the attacks on Gaza after a protester was filmed climbing Mount Sinai Hospital this past Monday. Politicians across all levels of government, from Mayor Olivia Chow to Premier Doug Ford, have condemned the protest outside the Jewish institution, with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau even calling it a display of anti-Semitism. Rally organizers, however, deny any intention of targeting the hospital and claim it was on their route to the U.S. consulate. Police say they will be increasing their presence on Hospital Row to maintain hospital operations.
Starting this upcoming Monday on Family Day, the City of Toronto will begin enforcing paid street parking during statutory holidays. With more on why the change has been made, here's Apruva Bhatt.
If you're heading out this Family Day, remember to pay for parking since it's no longer going to be free on stat holidays. Starting this Monday, the Toronto Police will be ticketing folks who haven't paid for parking. In a statement released on February 12th, the Toronto Police Service announced this operational decision is due to increased competition for curb space. They've linked this competition to streetcars, bike lanes, Cafe Toronto, and other infrastructure developments.
People would call in saying, my neighbors, knowing that that's free parking, just parks their car all day. Well, that's not allowing someone who's coming to the city to enjoy the city a parking spot. That's just someone using up a spot because it's free.
In light of how expensive everything has become, some Torontonians aren't happy about this development.
Everyone that's getting paid and everything for like work, it's not enough to be considered like living wages. It's already a struggle.
While this will only impact parking 12 days a year, it's definitely a perk that will be missed. For On the Record News, I'm Apoorva Bhatt. Back to you, Dana and Nick.
Enjoy a fancy cocktail? How about one with Dunkaroos or popcorn in it? Bartenders threw it back to the 90s at the Canadian finals for the Vero Bartender Competition in Toronto this Tuesday. Here's Patrick Pearson with more.
10 bartenders from across the country gathered at Bar Mordecai in Toronto this Tuesday to compete in the Canadian finals for the Vero Bartender Cocktail Competition. Contestants were challenged to create an original cocktail inspired by this year's theme, 90s Calling, using Amaro Montenegro, the contest's organizer.
I'm very, very proud and excited for the astounding levels of talent, commitment, and creativity that we saw in our submissions this year.
Judges selected 10 finalists from nearly 100 entries posted on Instagram. While local talent was represented at the national finals, contestants came from as far as Halifax, Nova Scotia, Montreal, Quebec, and Victoria, British Columbia. Some contestants took inspiration from the movies and music of the 1990s, such as Pulp Fiction and Nirvana, while some harkened back to childhood nostalgia with recess and 90s snack-themed drinks, and others created modern takes on the classic cocktails of the 90s, like the Cosmopolitan and the Long Island Iced Tea. Judge Josh Lindley, a veteran of Toronto's bar scene and co-founder of Bartender Atlas, said that the key to success in this competition and in cocktail making is being creative and not taking it too seriously.
First and foremost, Amaro Montenegro has to be the most important thing in the drink. Secondly, can you do that and not make it so serious? Like, how much fun can you have with a spirit that's 140-ish years old? And I think everyone here did a really good job of that, actually.
And it means so, so much to me to pass on this year's Vero Bartender title to my best friend, Dylan Brentwood.
Ultimately, Dylan Brentwood of Bar Kismet in Halifax, Nova Scotia, took home the top spot. Combining Amaro Montenegro with a homemade caramel apple soda, cheddar popcorn-infused rum, and bitters, his Good Will Hunting-inspired cocktail, dubbed Dem Apples, took the judges back to a night at the movies in 1997.
So my approach was like, how could I do something that I'm very excited about right now, which is like working with carbonation, and use like ingredients that are local to Nova Scotia, related to the cocktail that I cared about, the movie I cared about, which was Good Will Hunting. So I just kind of landed on this like apple caramel soda idea, and I was like, that sounds really dumb.
He'll be sent to Bologna, Italy, the birthplace of Amaro Montenegro, in April to take his creation to the world finals. Events like this one not only provide bartenders an opportunity to showcase their chops, but are also important for Toronto's bartending community, according to Lindley.
You get to see what everybody is interested in and what everyone's capable of and how good you are in front of a room. Like, look, man, 60% of bartending is being able to read a room. And if you're performing, making a drink, it is partially performance. If you can't do that, what are you even doing?
For On the Record, I'm Patrick Pearson.
In campus news, the university is seeking community feedback on its latest sexual violence policy review draft. With more on the online survey and policy changes, here's Julia Lawrence.
Toronto Metropolitan University is asking community members to read and provide feedback on phase two of its sexual violence policy review. The feedback will be gathered in an online survey that will be up until March 1st, according to a statement sent out to the TMU community on Monday. The online survey is an anonymous 9-page Google form asking the user to go through specific policy sections and give general feedback on language and section descriptions. In phase one's announcement, the university stated, the review will help maintain our commitment to excellence and fairness of process and will ensure that the policy continues to reflect an institutional commitment to addressing sexual violence and promoting a culture of consent in a trauma-informed way. This is a regular review process required by the Ministry of Colleges and Universities every 3 years. The policy covers complaint procedures, education strategies, support for people affected by sexual violence, and more. A few of the proposed changes include 14 new definitions ranging from online and relationship violence to what is classified as a complaint, a new section on values and guiding principles covering how the policy aligns with the university, equity and diversity, accountability, and employee relationships. Schools, zones, other TMU offices, and affiliated groups were added alongside faculties and departments of spaces that should include related education where appropriate. Parameters of consent were fleshed out, and a new parameter of relationship hierarchy within the university was added. Workplace well-being services was added as a support option alongside consent comes first. Applications and scope expanded the definition of off-campus to include places such as online spaces. Principles governing approach added additional information on trauma-informed approaches, support, and questions about sexual expression. Part 3 was added to focus more on the procedures of the complaint resolution process. The draft and survey are accessible at torontomu.ca or via the announcement sent over email to TMU community members. I'm Julia Lawrence, reporting with On the Record.
Have you ever been phished? TMU students are sharing their horror stories when it comes to online scams and ways to protect yourself. With more on the story, here's Talia Saley.
According to a survey by Deloitte last year, Gen Z is 3 times more easily fooled by online scams and twice as likely to have their social media accounts hacked compared to older generations. Amongst university students, rental and job scams are the most common, said David Coffey, a detective at the Financial Crimes Unit at Toronto Police Service. For instance, Hafsa Farouki, a second-year TMU student, found a $500 rental listing on Roomies that seemed like a good deal initially. The roomie's member requested a financial deposit before any tour of the room, but Faruqi declined. 3 days later, the member was kicked out as a fraudulent listing. Unlike Faruqi, Simran, a TMU graduate, fell for a gift card scam back in 2018 when she installed a virus on her computer and out of panic called a fake Apple support number that requested she buy more than $1,000 worth of Samsung gift cards. Without hesitation, she did and lost all of that money. Situations like Simran's are known as social engineering attacks, where scammers can impersonate other organizations, said Charles Finley, the executive director at Rogers Cybersecure Catalyst at TMU. Here are some precautions Coffey and Finley suggest students should take to limit the risk.
It's getting to the point where you almost have to be constantly vigilant and almost always err on the side of caution when you see anything unsolicited that comes into your email, into your text messages. If you don't instantly recognize who it's from, delete it.
Brian Lesser, the chief information officer at TMU, said to resist clicking on links. Instead, hover over the link to see where it leads.
Cybersecurity hygiene. So use a password manager that's going to create complex passwords and update them regularly. Use two-factor authentication.
Remember to always stay aware as there are endless new ways you can get scammed online. For On the Record News, I'm Talia Saley.
Despite new evidence linking cannabis products to anxiety disorders, some TMU students feel that the pros outweigh the cons. With more on that, here's Jalen A. Ashman.
Students at Toronto Metropolitan University say they're willing to take the good with the bad after a study was released by the University of Ottawa earlier this month linking cannabis usage to incidents of anxiety and anxiety disorders. The study contained over 12 million participants who had not previously received medical treatment for anxiety disorders. Over 30,000 of these participants had their first visit to the emergency department due to cannabis-induced anxiety within 3 years of the study, which began in 2019. Alicia Montero, a fourth-year student at TMU who struggles with anxiety and has been prescribed medication for it in the past, said that while she had anxiety brought on by cannabis, she also benefited from using it.
I come home, have a bit of a smoke, and suddenly I feel like all of the intrusive, anxious thoughts are kind of put on the back burner.
Second-year student Yoon's Park had a similar experience.
It's not really affected my anxiety levels to the point where I felt like I personally need to stop, because I've been experiencing anxiety for a few years now, and most of those years, like, I haven't used weed at all.
Dr. Bernard LaFolle, a senior scientist specializing in addiction at CAMH, cautioned against cannabis usage in young adults. It is best for young people to abstain from cannabis, as early initiation is associated with increased risk of developing subsequent cannabis use disorder. It seems also that exposure to cannabis may create or worsen some psychiatric issues in some individuals. When asked if close proximity of cannabis shops to the school campus might factor into higher usage for the TMU student population, LaFolle couldn't comment. But in a similar study released last month, poor mental health outcomes in young adults were also linked to the consumption of energy drinks. LaFolle urges consumers to be aware of the uncertainty of potential consequences of cannabis usage. There is for sure a risk related to acute intoxication and also some acute psychiatric consequences. At this point, we cannot really predict who is at risk of developing problems related to cannabis use. For On the Record, I'm Jalen A. Ashman.
From updates on the Super Bowl to upcoming movies, it's been a lively week in the world of entertainment. With more on that, here's Talia Saley.
There's been a lot going on this week in entertainment, so let's get straight into it. First things first, we cannot forget about the Super Bowl that happened just last Sunday. The Super Bowl 58 was the most watched US TV event since Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin's moon landing in 1969. The average reached around 123.4 million viewers that night, making television history. Let's move on to the Super Bowl after party, where Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were enjoying the night when You Belong With Me started playing, and Travis seemed to be yelling something to Taylor. Mm-hmm. With more news, we have the new Deadpool and Wolverine Super Bowl trailer, which looks very promising. The film features everyone's favorite Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. This will be Disney's first ever R-rated Marvel movie, which was once under 20th Century Fox, now owned by Disney as 20th Century Studios. Keep your hopes up as this movie will be in theaters starting July 26th. Whenever you think of American Idol, I'm sure the first person you think of is Katy Perry. Unfortunately, she announced that she will no longer be a part of American Idol after 7 seasons. She confirmed the news with Jimmy Kimmel and on an Instagram post. She hinted at some new projects on the way, so let's hope we can hear some amazing tunes from her soon. That's all the entertainment news. I'm Talia Saley. Now back to you in the studio.
Making plans for this Valentine's weekend? You might need to bundle up. With more on the weather, here's our very own Dana Masamra.
Good morning, everyone. Let's take a look at how the weather's looking now and into next week. It'll be quite a pleasant Friday across the GTA and Durham region, with temperature highs hovering around zero in Toronto, as well as Brampton, Mississauga, and Oshawa. It'll be just a little bit cooler up north, like in Newmarket, where the highs will be -2, and in Barrie, -3. Over on the east end, Peterborough will also have a high of -2 degrees, and as we move over to the west, we'll see relatively the same temperature in towns like Guelph and Kitchener, but not too shabby for mid-February. Hamilton is just under freezing temperatures with highs of -1, and finally, if you're planning on going to Niagara Falls or St. Catharines, the weather there will be similar to Toronto with highs of 0 degrees. Now, let's take a look at our 5-day forecast. If you're making plans to go out this weekend, Saturday will be a chilly one, with a possibility of light flurries and high of -4 and a low of -8. Getting chillier into the night, so be sure to bundle up. Sunday is slightly warmer throughout the day, with the sun peeking through and with a high hovering around 0, but there will be a chance of flurries as lows can reach -8 without the sunshine. Going back to school or work on Monday will be pleasant with sunshine and a few cloudy periods with a high of 4 and a low of -4. We'll see the same on Tuesday, and then near the middle of the week, the weather will get colder as the high on Wednesday will be -1 and lows reach -6. So definitely make sure to bring your jackets to Toronto. That's all for your weekly weather update. I'm Dana Masamra. Back to you in the studio. From the football field to the baseball diamond, there is big news coming out of the sports world. With more on that, here's Jalen A. Ashman.
It was a victory felt across the world for Swifties this past Sunday, as the Kansas City Chiefs emerged victorious over the San Francisco 49ers at this year's Super Bowl. The teams went head-to-head and were tied at 19 points each at the end of the fourth quarter, taking the game into overtime. The 49ers scored a field goal, taking them to 22 points. It was not enough to fight back the Chiefs. The game ended with a game-winning touchdown pass made by Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman. This win marks the third Super Bowl title in 5 seasons for the Kansas City Chiefs. And in basketball news, the Toronto Raptors failed to crack the San Antonio Spurs' defense during Monday night's game. Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs recorded a triple-double with 10 blocks. The 20-year-old was a dominating force, knocking down and rejecting shots on both ends of the court. Wembanyama caught 14 rebounds and scored 27 of the 122 points that helped the Spurs snap their 7-game losing streak. The Raptors managed to score only 99 points. And over on the baseball diamond, after failing to acquire Shohei Ohtani, new hope may be on the horizon for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have finalized a 5-year, $32 million deal for Cuban baseball player Yariel Rodriguez. The 26-year-old former free agent has been praised for his versatility and athleticism during his tenures in both Cuba and Japan, making him a lucrative addition to the Blue Jays. Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins said in a press release that Yariel brings diverse arsenal, impressive athleticism, and ability to get swing and miss to our team. That's all for sports this week. I'm Jalen A. Ashman. Back to you in the studio.
That's all for On the Record this February 16th, 2024. I'm Nicholas Viveros.
And I'm Dana Masamra. Join us for On the Record next week as we round out the latest stories from the OTR newsroom.
And for the latest 24/7, visit our website, ontherecordnews.ca. Have a great day.